Good morning, good morning. Welcome, welcome to Law and Gospel on this Monday, May 19th, 2014, in the year of our Lord. And of course, this is not Dr. Tom Baker speaking to you. This is Wes Reimnitz. I'm pastor at St. Paul's Lutheran Church there in Havana, Illinois. We're about an hour northwest of Springfield, Illinois, and about an hour south of Peoria. And I'm coming in to fill in for Dr. Tom Baker. So, you know, if there's any problems, you blame Tom. That's the old Adam in us that would say, it's somebody else's fault, it's not ours. And that's what we want to talk about, the old Adam, the new Adam, and things like this. It was about 30 months ago that I went to St. Paul's Havana, and I found out that they had a radio ministry broadcast that they do each Sunday morning, as well as during Lent, Wednesday Lent, and Good Friday, and Maundy Thursday special services. And I came, and I'd known Tom for some time, and I said, you know, we need some help. We need to enhance and build up that radio broadcast that we have there and reach out. And he came and gave us some advice and increase that it did. So if you ever get an opportunity, contact Tom, invite him to your church and talk about radio ministries. It's been great for us up there. We've increased our whole broadcast area, and you can reach Tom at Law and A&D Gospel at Law and A&D Gospel 101.com. And a wonderful website, get a lot of good things on there, or you can sign up for on his website for $10 a month, and it'd be great. But this morning, we're going to take a look at next week's lessons. We just celebrated the fifth Sunday of Easter yesterday, and this next Sunday, we celebrate the sixth Sunday of Easter. And if you're interested in the lessons there, you can contact us at 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727. Our lessons this morning for next week are from Acts chapter 17, 16 to 31, 1 Peter chapter 3, 13 to 22, and John 14, 15 to 21. And interesting lessons. Boy, you could just about preach on any one of those go on and on and on. In fact, in Acts chapter 17, it speaks about Paul being in Athens, and it's a wonderful witness. As we live in this multicultural society, this is a great lesson for us to take a look at, too, as we go through these. In particular, he preaches about the unknown God. He finds and segues that way to finally get him to the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So that would be a lesson to take a look at. Also, in jumping right into our gospel lesson for the day, John 14, it's 15 to 21. If anyone loves me, he will keep my commandments, and the Father and I will ask the Father, and he will come give you another helper, that you may be with him forever, that the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not know him, behold him or know him, because you know that the world cannot receive, abides with you and you with him. Now, it goes on, but, you know, what's in particular, I guess, from a law gospel perspective, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. You know, if you ever go to Tom Baker's Law Gospel site there, lawandgospel101.com, and under his membership there, each week he posts a thing on Law Gospel for about a half hour that you can listen to, whether it's a seminar on a PowerPoint or some sermons that they had. Just recently he had Matt Harrison, president of our Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, speaking about law and gospel. But about a few weeks back, he had about mixing up law and gospel. And one of them is that if clause, if you love me, you know, that it can come off sounding like law. And of course, Christ isn't talking about you got to do this in such a way or keep it. You got to break it down into the Greek, as Tom would say. The love that it speaks about is an agape love from the Greek. And of course, in the Greek, you break down into various levels of love that it talks about. For instance, it talks about phileo love in the gospel, which is a brotherly type of love. But the self-sacrificing love that this one is talking about here in verse 15 is that love. And of course, it is that love of the Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross. And I would say, in a way, you could segue into the epistle lesson for the day from 1 Peter chapter 3. There in verse 18 of that lesson, it says, "For Christ has died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust, in order that he might bring us to God, having put to death in the flesh and made alive in the spirit." Yeah, Christ gave that self-sacrificing love by going the way of the cross for us. And also, if you went to that Law Gospel site, he had on there Martin Charlemagne's Passion of the Christ audio, and it talked about the last seven words. And it was just gorgeous, just beautiful. When he got to the one on, well, it was all good, but especially one that I really saw that stood out was, "It is finished." When Jesus says it is finished, Martin went on to say, you know, Jesus looked up, surveyed the landscape, looked all the way back to Adam and Eve and that first sin that was committed in the garden, reached forward all the way through to the time of the cross, reached into the future. For us, he reaches into the 21st century. In fact, it reaches so far into the future to the last person that is ever born. And then Jesus said, "It is finished." Notice, it isn't the last person saved. It's the last person that was ever born. For Christ died for sins once for all. And that's the wonderful good news. That's the agape love. That is the sacrificing love that our Lord Jesus Christ gives to each and every one of us. And reaching out with that good news of Jesus Christ in the world around us. But kind of back also in that lesson there, it talks about in which he made a proclamation to the spirits in prison. And of course, they're talking about the people from the days of Noah during the construction of the ark, and they were disobedient. And it's interesting when you pick up the Lutheran Study Bible, what it talks about in terms of Christ's descent. Christ descended into hell to declare his victory over death and over the evil forces. His power surpasses all others. Scriptures do not teach that he offered the spirits a second chance for salvation, but that he went and told them the deed has been done. The salvation on the cross has been won. And here's the other part that I really think goes with preaching on Sunday. And corresponding to that, baptism now saves you from the removal of dirt from the flesh for an appeal of a good conscience through the resurrection of Christ. And of course, he was talking about that in the days of Noah, there was that construction of the ark, and few as eight people were brought safely through the water, and now corresponding to that is baptism. In our baptism, we also see that sacrificial love of Christ. We've often talked about it here on Law Gospel on Thursdays. Normally, you're used to listening to me on a Thursday on Ruminations when Baker and I get together. We talk about that glorious exchange, that wonderful, glorious exchange. And what's that glorious exchange? In baptism, Christ takes our sins and gives to us his robes of righteousness. And that's the wonderful news, that when we talk about Christ dying once for all, the just for the unjust, in order to bring us to God in the flesh, or we talk about in that love that Christ has for each and every one of us, then we keep his commands. It is that sacrificing love. As the Christian lives and believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, we live in that baptism and we live in that glorious exchange. I remember here a few months ago, I was teaching some new adults, and they had been through various other catechism type classes and various other churches, and we got to that glorious exchange. They said, "We've never heard it that way before, that Christ takes on our sins and gives to us his robes of righteousness. And of course, that's a wonderful, wonderful good news that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ. I think the other thing that I see in these lessons, and especially in that John 14, is, and of course, we preached about it yesterday, where Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled." And Tom talked about that too last week. But in particular, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." If you've been following the lectionary series in our Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, it speaks about how we are talking about the gospel and how Christ comes to us. In the third Sunday of Easter, we talked about the Emmaus disciples, how they looked to Christ, but on the other hand, Christ did not let them recognize him on the road to Emmaus. He began to speak to them the word, and so forth. With the fourth lesson, or fourth Sunday of Easter, it was the Good Shepherd. "I am the door. I am the door for those sheep." And then last Sunday, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life." The only way is through that sacrificial love that we have in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We have a caller on the line? Yep. Well, got Jan from Atlanta, Georgia.
Hi, Pastor.
Hi.
You're doing an excellent job.
Well, thank you. You'll have to call back Tom and tell him that.
Okay, I will do it. I have a question
that
centers around our gospel lesson, John 14:15. "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." And I'm wondering how that correlates to Luke 6, verse 31, which says, Luke 6:31 says, "If you would do unto others as you would have them do unto you." And then Luke 6:46 is the one that says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say?" So we model or exemplify our love by our obedience. And how can we draw a distinction between the law and the gospel as far as the obedience concerned?
Yeah, well, you know, first of all, you know what I'd tell you? Call Tom later this week.
No,
in that John passage, yeah, I looked at that, and when it said, "If you love me, you know, you will keep my commands," it is a self-sacrificing love. And from a law gospel perspective, when you're talking about it, do we treat people the same way as we should? And in that one sense, we really got to say sometimes we don't do that. We don't do that perfectly. That's why I keep referring to that concept of self-sacrificing love. It is the self-sacrificing love of Christ upon the cross. He's the one who completed the journey for us. He's the one that is that, not just only the doorway, but a little later in John 14, he also says, "The Father and I will come and make our home inside of you," or he also sends to us that Holy Spirit. It is only through Christ that we do it. And that gospel is trusting in those promises that God has given to us through Christ. He is the one who's made it perfect. Does that kind of help out?
It really does. One last question, and I'll hang up and listen to your answer. It occurred to me that all God's promises are conditional. And what I mean by that is when you are in Christ, you can trust in his promises. What do you think, Pastor?
You call Tom. No, very good, but no. In Christ, it's the life of the believer, and I think in a real sense, when you're talking about that, back to that John passage, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." Already, they live and breathe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and Some days we're pretty good at the trust factor. Other days we do not so good. But Christ keeps all things in perspective. He answers all prayers. And as it's been said before, they're always yes, according to his will, that he's watching over and taking care of us. You know, it brings up that good point of where is my life as I live in my Lord Jesus Christ. And the epistle lesson for this last Sunday said, I am a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a people for God's own selection, that I may declare the excellencies of him who, of course I'm paraphrasing, of him who's called us out of darkness into the light. How does God see us? And it's being able to look at it, that sometimes when we look at each other, we see the warts, the imperfections, we see the sinner, we see the sort of things. In fact, we kind of joke about it up over at St. Paul's. But are serious, that in order to belong to our church, you have to be a poor, miserable sinner. And a poor, miserable sinner is one who knows that they're in need of God's grace and forgiveness. And there we see that, again, that glorious exchange taking place where I had that wonderful forgiveness in my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God sees me holy, sees me perfect. We just had a funeral a few months back, and a wonderful lady who the community knew had severe problems, schizophrenia. And if you know anything about it, they hear voices, and it just turns their life upside down and every bit sideways. And I'd go and visit her, and we would talk about that, how the voices would cease one day when she was taken into her glory. She clung to the promises. Wasn't anything that she did that was all that perfect in her life, and she could tell you about all the problems. People in the community could tell you about all her problems and the things that they happened. But she trusted in the promises of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that, of course, made all the difference. You know, when we look at that, that he comes and lives with us and makes his home inside of us, kind of reminds me of the farmer that I was out at Trinity Lutheran Church in Bluffs, Illinois, out in rural Illinois, western Illinois. And he asked me to come over for lunch after church. And I said, okay. And as he did, he handed the keys to his car to his wife and said, here, you drive home, honey. I'm going to hop in his car and take him over to the farm. She says, oh, he'll find it. He says, no, he won't. And I would have to agree, that first time, boy, I wasn't going to find that way to the house. I can still remember it. It was two rights, a third right, then a left, then a right, then another left. And the last road we were on was more like a cow path, or, you know, some grass in between and two bare lanes for it, where the tires had gone. And I said, oh, we're on your lane to the farmhouse. He says, no, we're still on the county road yet. But we got there. And it's a reminder how Christ has come into our life through the Holy Spirit, from the hearing of the word, and why it was so important that on the road to Emmaus, he didn't recognize him, the disciples, he kept them, but he talked to them about the scriptures. Faith comes, of course, from hearing, and hearing that word of Christ. That's what Paul tells us in Romans. And as we look at those lessons for the day, it still talks about that. Still talks about that, the love that we find in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we let not our hearts be troubled. We believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that God opens up those doors in varieties of ways and opportunities for us. So we thank Jan for the calls that she give. If you're interested in calling in, it's 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727. As we look at the further into the gospel lesson, it says, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you after a little while. The world that will not behold me anymore, but you will behold me because I live. And after a little while, the world will see me no more. In that day, you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. And he who has these commandments and keeps them is he who loves me, and he who loves me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him and disclose him to himself. Of course, he promises that Holy Spirit. And if you had some opportunity earlier this morning, they had Pastor Bill Schrader, and he did a wonderful example of talking about the coming of the Holy Spirit into our hearts. I was listening on the way down from Springfield this morning as they were speaking on that Bible class, and Bill Schrader was one of my former pastors. As you know, I worked for 17 years in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod in the Central Illinois District. And the church I attended, he was one of my pastors there. So it was great to hear about how it is that Holy Spirit works in our life. So if you get a chance, download that, take a look at it, and speak about it. But as we talk about the way, the truth, and the life, we also speak about how it is that Christ gives to us those wonderful opportunities to take that good news that he has given to us, that we can go and speak to other people about what Christ has done for us, that as he gives to us that opportunity, we share that good news of Christ with us. You know, this morning I have Gary Duncan running the board for me. And Gary just let me know that his mother— of course, he's got a brother that lives just south of Havana, but his mother is being taken up to the nursing home there in Havana, and I'll be able to start going and visiting her and presenting the gospel and taking that wonderful news. And you see how wonderful it is that God gives to us those opportunities in speaking that good news of Jesus Christ. But back again to that gospel lesson, where he says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. I brought along my American edition of Luther's Works, Volume 24, and it was kind of interesting how Luther himself took a look at it. He said, therefore, Christ says, I will not impose anything else on you. I ask and demand no more than this one thing, that you faithfully preach about me and watch over my word and sacrament, show affection and harmony among one another for my sake, and patiently bear the adversities that entails for you. You know, that we continue to show that love and that unity towards one another in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Recently, you know, one of my committees at St. Paul's, a couple of the members got into a disagreement, and got rather vocal, kind of more emails towards each other. The reason I can talk about it is it was fairly public. You know, it kind of went out there. Everybody in the church kind of knew about it. But also what went with it, as they were going back, and one says, I'm going to go to a different church service because we have three, one on Saturday at 5 and two on Sunday at 7:45 and 10:15, and that way we'll be separated from one another. But then, you know, we talk to them a little bit about the love of Christ compels us to be with one another, how it is that we're brothers and sisters in Christ. And I slowly brought them back together to where they reconciled and loved one another in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Gary just handed out the 2-minute warning. We're getting close to the end here, and it's a reminder that I'm Wes Reimnitz. I'm up at St. Paul's, Havana, Illinois, and we're on the air at 7:45 on Sunday and 10:15, and on Saturday we have church at 6 p.m. We're at the corner of Pearl and Market Street there in Havana. Tom will be with you tomorrow as we talk about the hymn of the day for Law and Gospel. It's been a great opportunity to come and speak with you. You get the chance. Share the good news of Jesus Christ. I got a little homework for you to do. Find somebody that you know and tell them that you love them, that you care about them, and you care about them because of what Christ has done for them, how Christ is your Savior, how He is your Lord, how He has died and rose for you, and how, too, you want Him to have that same wonderful message. It's great to be with you this morning. God bless. God watch over you.
Listen to Law and Gospel on Worldwide KFUO. You can write Pastor Baker at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122, or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. We are the messenger of good news, KFUO.